morning. Oh, I missed the spot.
Yeah,
Katie.
You did.
That's okay. We got 3 hours to try to find it. Just Nate and Katie today. Dave is finally having his vacation / big trade time catch up with him. It's bound to happen.
Got sick.
He's ill. Well, you know what? You go to Haiti and then you don't sleep for a few days. It's kind of a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, he got a little bit sick on the trip, I guess, for like one of those days where he was basically just like in the cabin.
Not a huge surprise.
Yes.
And I mean, it's not just a Haiti thing. I mean, it's the fact that he was on a cruise. Like he was in,
as you call them, a floating toilet.
A floating toilet with a bunch of strangers, hundreds of them. And he also, he spent some time in Fort Lauderdale. So he's like, he's been in Florida. He's been on a floating toilet. He's been in Haiti. It's
Jamaica, Mexico, yeah.
I mean,
he got something.
He drank the water at some point.
Yes, he did.
And so he's gone today, and that was a bit of a surprise, so we're going to do our best for you. It's going to be awesome. Nate and Katie, and we got all, well, and Matt over there, too. He's going to, you know, wave at us. You can hear that on the radio. set the lineup for you. There you go. That was it. Set the lineup for you. 805, Bobby Marks, the front office insider for The Vertical, is going to be joining us. If you haven't heard Bobby before, he's fantastic. And there's plenty of stuff that, and not just Kings-wise with him, but the Lakers making moves to try to make sure that they keep up with the Kings in the standings over the next several years.
Oh, my goodness.
They've made some shifts in their front office, Katie.
Yes. Crazy, right? It's not that crazy because, you know, we were down in L.A. on Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. You were. Yeah, for the Kings. We're down there for the Kings game. And that was kind of at the point where for the previous week there had been Magic Johnson basically going on a media tour, speaking to anybody that would talk to him. And I think trying to garner like public support of a potential takeover, because beginning of February, he came
on. They were focus grouping Magic Johnson.
Yes, exactly. But the beginning of February, he was announced as an advisor to Jeannie Buss in all things basketball and business related. And then he goes out and starts talking about how, yes, he would like to be the one calling the shots and so on and so forth. And I'm sitting here going, Mitch Kupchak and Jim Buss are still involved and very much, I don't know, their job titles are to make the decisions.
And oddly,
Magic just yapping away out there.
Yeah, and we didn't really make a thing of that. And mostly that comes down to the fact that Magic Johnson like spews a lot of BS, and just I don't think anyone takes him seriously
anymore. He'll talk to anybody that'll listen.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so when he says, even though like he's in a position with the team, when he starts staging a media coup, nobody sees it coming because he's the boy that cried wolf.
It was kind of funny though, because he started out by saying, "Oh, they were 2 to 3 years away from contention," and then as the media tour went on, it's 3 to 5 years, probably closer to 5 years.
Yeah, give yourself some leeway, man.
Yeah, exactly. As things maybe got a little bit closer.
He didn't go full hinky, though.
No. We were talking to Luke Walton in the scrum before the game, and obviously he was getting a ton of questions about this. He's like, look, my job right now is to focus on coaching this team. He's like, I'm sure Magic and I will sit down and have a conversation at some point, probably during the All-Star break. And when he said that, I was like, my ears went, there's something that's going to happen during the All-Star break with this franchise. And absolutely, they pulled the trigger.
Magic Johnson, now the president of basketball operations for the Lakers. So, we'll check in with Bobby Marks about that and all the latest with the Kings as well. And with the trade deadline approaching imminent tomorrow afternoon, things are heating up. The Kings made a trade, and we're going to have the press conference from New Orleans at 8:35. DeMarcus Cousins, Omri Caspi being introduced. We'll make sure that we have all of DeMarcus's remarks. And I'm really interested in hearing, Katie, not just what DeMarcus has to say, because you know that he's going to, I don't want to say take some shots, but there will be some nuance to whatever he says today. I mean, DeMarcus is not a cookie cutter press type of guy. And whether he says something intentionally or not, it'll be easy to read between the lines.
Yeah.
And I'm also interested to hear, and this is so basic, but
don't be basic.
As how they introduce DeMarcus and Omri.
Yeah.
I don't know. What What do the Pelicans as a franchise, whoever's leading that press conference, what do they say about this trade?
Yeah. How do they sell it, basically? I don't know that you have to sell it. Oh, my goodness. I don't know that you have to sell it if you're the Pelicans to your fan base. You know, I think when you look at it, you've got a three-time All-Star in DeMarcus Cousins, who averages, you know, over 25-10 alongside another All-Star that averages over 25-10. Yeah, I think
it's pretty good.
That's basic math, right?
Well, kind of. I mean, we'll see. We'll see how basic that math turns out. I'm hoping that this can be the beginning of the healing process between me and DeMarcus Cousins, because I spent so much time as a fan, but it just became a damaged relationship at the end. And sometimes that's, you know, that's unfortunate. Like, you just find these things that whatever it is, the relationship is irreparable. It's unsalvageable. And after 6.5 years, I had gotten to that point with him. And I'm talking about my relationship with him as a fan.
Right.
I don't know the guy personally. I don't, you know, the off-the-court stuff. Good for him for being good at it, but, like, that doesn't matter to me. I'm a fan of the basketball team. I want to watch them win games.
Right.
And after 6.5 years, I felt like it was an irreparable, irreconcilable differences.
You were ready to part ways.
Yes. And so now, he's still got all the talent, so he's going
to
be.
It's not like you hate the guy. It's not like you don't want him to do well.
I could kind of.
I'm trying to figure
this
out.
I couldn't care less if he does well, but he is a fun player to watch when he's not wrecking games for your team with his attitude. Okay. And so I'm looking forward to that, to getting him a couple of times a year and watching him put up those ridiculous triple double numbers when he does decide that he's just going to be absolutely unguardable. That's going to be fun. But the number one part of the healing process, and I don't know why this did this for me, but apparently he's going to be donning the number 0 in New Orleans. And I like that. Ever since Gilbert Arenas went there and was just like, I'm Agent 0. Nobody wanted me. Like, that's it. I guess what I'm saying is I hope that DeMarcus embraces the heel role that he can take on. Like, if he just goes full on and enters that J.R. Smith, Dion Waiters category of, like, dude, he's so much more talented than those guys.
Oh, yeah.
But just embrace the fact that you're a heel and a polarizing player. Own it. Be that dude. And, you know, we can come back to friendliness.
Well, and there's so many things. Obviously, Anthony Davis is a fun player to watch. And I've always been a fan of Alvin Gentry and his system and his style since he was coaching in Phoenix. I am seriously scratching my head on how this duo is going to work out.
Yeah.
Because you've got plenty of,
I think that'd be tough for any coach.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially when your system is more of a run and gun system. Mm-hmm. You know, DeMarcus Cousins half the time he doesn't want to cross half court if he doesn't have to. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so a fast paced run and gun system, that's difficult. To get him to do that. And the only way you can do it is if you don't have to rely on him for 35 minutes a game. I think if you cut his minutes, if you pair him back to like 30.
Well, you're talking about winning that way, right? Because,
yes.
I mean, he certainly played well under George Karl, but the record was what it was.
It doesn't mean that it was because of him. You know what I mean? Like, their pace was up, their scoring was up, all of those things. But that's when DeMarcus started shooting three-pointers.
Uh-huh.
And so basically you're only going about 75 feet versus whatever, 90, or you're mm-hmm. even less than that, you know. But
are we going to see him shoot more of those now that you've got Anthony Davis down low that's really going to be able to clean up? Like, you've got another elite rebounder now.
That's the question for me. And they are like one of the worst, I think the second worst rebounding team in the league.
Not anymore.
Like, behind Dallas, who is, you know, leading the charge of just complete garbage rebound teams in the league right now, I don't know how this is going to work out. So more than ever now, I'm kind of paying attention to the Pelicans because of, you know, knowing Alvin's system, liking Anthony Davis, and obviously knowing DeMarcus so well, going, okay, how is this going to work out? And I think a lot of people around the NBA are kind of curious, because you talk about, I'm getting emails from people talking about how the big man is dead in this league, and this is, glad he's gone, so on and so forth. I'm sitting here going, okay, I see what you're saying, but a big man that can score is always valuable. Now you got two of them.
Well, yeah, I mean, you still can't teach size.
What are you going
to
do with two of them?
Well, and it's kind of ironic. Like, we spent so much time, hey, would you rather have Anthony Davis or DeMarcus Cousins? Like, well, hey, that's not a debate
anymore.
That's
not a debate.
They get both of them. 4 minutes from now, we'll be talking about our top three stories of the day. Bobby Marks at 8:05 and DeMarcus Cousins opening press conference in New Orleans coming your way at 8:35. But until then, we're going to take you through the world of sports. Nate Goodyear and Katie Christensen with you. This is The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. It's Magic Johnson rubbing his beard on the microphone, apparently. I thought he was eating a bag of chips, but Matt, yeah. I think, got it right with the...
The beard rubbing?
Maybe a little bit.
Stop doing that. That's gross.
I'm not. That's
You're
going to
get all those Dave
That was your beard.
You. Yes, it was
rubbing
my beard.
Your beard on the mic.
I have an appointment later to take care of that.
Ew. Yeah. Hey, so do I. So Magic Johnson, he's now the president of basketball operations for the Lakers. They've pretty much... They cleaned house in their front.
They
There's
did.
No other way to put it. They've mopped it up. They burned it down, whatever you want to call it.
Jeannie Buss said, I'm sorry, brother, Jim.
Yeah.
I've had enough of you. You've run this organization into the ground. And now Magic Johnson is the one making the decisions, which I don't really know how to feel about right now. I'm a little perturbed on, we talked about it in the first segment.
Twitter user,
about,
Magic Johnson.
Yes, all-star Twitter, MVP of the Twitter. But a little perturbed, as we talked about in the first segment, about kind of his public media tour that he was on lobbying for this job. It kind of harkens back
to... Was he lobbying for it, or was he preparing people for the fact that he had the job now in retrospect?
I kind of felt like he was lobbying for it. I thought it was kind of... That's how I felt.
Well, right. I mean, at the time, that's the way it looked.
And it kind of reminded me a little bit of the George Karl situation, right? Because he's such a popular figure in that organization and around the league. But I don't know where if he's going to have success, and obviously time will tell. But, you know, there's very few former superstar players that have gone on to be good at doing this job and evaluating talent.
Larry Bird and Jerry West.
Larry Bird and Jerry West are the two.
Right?
And it goes the same kind of in the coaching ranks as well. It's just, for whatever reason, it's very difficult for superstar caliber players to turn around and be able to impact a team in terms of deciding on and evaluating talent and then being able to put a team out on the floor and get them to play at a level. And I think that kind of goes to the fact that for them, it was such a gift and it was a talent for them.
Can't teach talent.
And they can't understand how to get that out of other players for the most part. So, you know, he made some moves right away. Obviously, the trade deadline coming up tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern time, I don't know. Time will tell with this, but it's a little wonky to me. And from a family perspective, I can't imagine what Thanksgiving is going to be like.
we'll have more on that at 8:05 with Bobby Marks, a front office insider for The Vertical. Also, Magic already filling the GM job with Rob Pelinka, an agent with Landmark Sports Agency. You might know that name because he currently represents James Harden, Eric Gordon, and Andre Iguodala, although that's going to have to end in order to take the Lakers' job. Here's the other thing, though. He represented Kobe Bryant for over a decade.
Oh, well, shocking. And Magic had said, you know, on this media tour that he'd been on for the last 2 weeks, that the first thing he's going to do is call Kobe Bryant. So I'm wondering at what point Kobe Bryant is involved with this organization and what that role is going to be. He's already stolen money from them for the last 2 years, so why not?
So more on that, plus some of Magic's best tweets all coming up later in the show.
Doesn't happen often.
It never happens in Little League because you don't have to throw four pitches to intentionally
walk somebody. Yeah, but it doesn't happen often in Major League Baseball that you get a hit off of an attempted intentional walk. But it's definitely not going to happen anymore because baseball has changed the intentional walk rule. No longer do you have to throw four balls to send someone to first base. No.
Nope. Hand signals.
Just a hand signal.
Using Air Force hand signals
now. The best thing about it, too, for me, and we're going to get into this in depth at 6:48, right before the last segment of this hour. But my favorite part about this rule being changed is just people mocking it with what that signal is going to be. And it's the bird.
Oh, well, that could be it.
Oh, yeah. Straight from the dugout, the double bird.
They could go straight from the old Barry Bonds book and just throw a rubber chicken out onto the field. You could do that. Okay, we used to, let's see, hand signal, like baseball signals in high school. We had blouse for bunt, sleeve for steal, hat for hit, trousers for take, right? And the face was the indicator. So I'm thinking, like, is it Willie for walk? Just grab the gear.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. We'll see. But this has a lot of baseball purists very pissed off.
Always.
And so we'll break that down as to why maybe they're correct or maybe they're outside of their mind.
Yeah, opinions abound. That's coming up at 6:45. That's Vlade on with Grant and Doug yesterday saying you can't trust agents. Vlade catching a lot of heat. Catching a lot of heat because he said that he had a better deal a couple of days ago and it fell apart because of the agents. Listen, I don't know a whole lot about this, but I think what it has to do with the fact that in that two-hour span, basically, during the All-Star game where DeMarcus Cousins went from being a Sacramento King for life to being traded to the Pelicans, somewhere in that time, DeMarcus's agent got wind of a potential deal and basically poisoned the water. He put it out there, listen, this guy's probably not going to re-sign. He's probably not going to sign an extension with whoever trades for him.
They were trying to do that on purpose because it was beneficial for not only DeMarcus, but for them.
Yeah.
An extra $30 million in DeMarcus's pocket is also quite a nice chunk of change in his agent's pocket.
Uh-huh.
And so this is interesting because, yeah, Vlade's gotten a lot of heat, but not trusting agents, I can't say that he's wrong there because they have way too much power right now in this league and it's run by them. And they do. They absolutely do. They can go behind. They're the ones that leak a lot of stuff. They can go behind your back. They can try and, you know, kind of put the kibosh on certain deals by poisoning them. And, yeah, you know, when you look at it that way, and we hadn't talked about it, you know, kind of Lottie's, yeah, I had a better deal 2 days ago. And then he's like, well, talk to the agents. I don't want to talk about it.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's basically what he was saying. He's like, it wasn't me. It was them. Isn't that an Outkast song?
is it?
It is.
You know who else has had this problem with agents in the past, Katie, is every other general manager
ever.
The NBA.
Yeah.
It's part of the game. And unfortunately, Vlade, he is inexperienced. We knew that. He's learning a lot of this stuff on the fly. And unfortunately, that means a lot of times learning it publicly and painfully.
Yeah, the difference is I guarantee you that this has happened with other general managers that have a ton of experience. They just don't come out and say that there was a better deal. And
right.
so then
they
have
don't
to explain
say
what that means.
Or you get back to the point where it never leaks out that something could potentially happen. We always go back to Jeff Petrie. The deals that he made were the ones you never heard about. They always happened, you know, in a snap of the fingers,
yeah,
out of nowhere, boom. Never had time for an agent to step in and poison a deal like that, or rarely.
Well, I don't know.
It's part of the process is my point. Like, that's not going
to
change. He has to go about his business differently.
You have to change. And then to publicly say that you don't trust agents, I mean, it's
good one.
It's detrimental, I would think. Or does it even really matter? Because it doesn't change anything. Do you think an agent isn't going to want to work with? This is the thing. An agent will work
talks
with you if it benefits them.
Exactly. Money talks.
Whether or not they like what you said publicly or not, it doesn't matter.
All right. So we talked about the shakeup in Los Angeles. They've already made a trade in addition to hiring a new GM and a president of basketball operations. We'll have all the coverage of that. Plus, we've got some
hold it together,
great info, 140 characters at a time, as to why Magic Johnson is qualified for this job. That's when we return on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. If this song doesn't, like, if it doesn't put a smile on your face, then there's just got to be something
wrong
with you. Nate Goodyear,
it's
Katie
like the Jason Ross of songs, right?
It kind of is. You just kind of
if you
it
don't like it, then there's something wrong with you.
Dave is ill today. He finally let all his party time catch
succumbed
up with him.
Yes,
that's what happens when you vacation all week and then you come home and do marathon radio because
yeah,
the team's franchise centerpiece got traded for peanuts. But that's, you know, he could have gotten traded for LeBron James, and
I like peanuts.
I do too. On an airplane, they don't do you much good on a basketball court. I want to let you know later on in the show, and all week long, listen to The Drive, score a pair of tickets to see Bon Jovi.
Yeah!
Yeah! Happening February 28th, 2017 at Golden One Center. That's my grandma's birthday. More info at khtk.com. Keep listening, because we're going to have those later on. So Dave is ill. And real quick, before we get to this Lakers thing, I just want to let everyone know about the fact that we're going to be at Jiffy Lube on Friday in Carmichael, 6542 Fair Oaks Boulevard. And this Friday, all three of us are going to be there, assuming Dave gets better.
Yeah.
We're going to be on site greeting customers and changing your oil.
So this is what's so funny about it, right? We knew about this. We knew it was coming. And Jiffy Lube tweeted it out yesterday. And, you know, Dave, you know, obviously retweeted it. And a lot of people are immediately jumping on being like, no way Dave is changing my oil. Like, I can see maybe Katie and Nate
doing
it.
Seems like this would be a liability issue.
Right, right. But Dave's like, this is going to be quite hilarious. I've never changed oil in my life except for French fries. And my reply to him on Twitter, and this is 100% the truth, that seeing him attempt to nail a screw into the wall when we were redoing his man cave was all of the evidence that I needed that him changing oil is going to be a catastrophe. Like, seriously.
There are three possibilities. I think two of them are going to happen. The first,
you and I both have changed oil before.
Yeah, like a lot of times. And listen, I mean, there's always room for mistakes. Like one time me and my dad were a little too tuned up and we forgot to put the drain plug back in and ended up with 4 quarts of oil all over the floor of the shop. That sucked. But, okay, first off, there is a near 100% chance that he loses the drain plug in the oil, right? Like, as he pulls it out, he drops a drain plug and it gets soaked in oil. Almost a near 100% chance also that he gets oil all over his arm trying to pull the drain plug out.
Oh, for sure.
Whether it, you know, actually drains onto him or
he's
whatever
gonna
it might
be. He's
going
to hit his head on something, too.
That's probably true.
I know that's gonna happen.
The final thing, like, slightly lower chance, but like again, two of these three things is going to happen.
That he lights something on fire.
no, that's like that's really long odds. It's possible, but I mean, it is just, you know, we're not just changing oil. The final one is he's going to strip somebody's drain plug.
Oh,
or he's going to cross thread it, putting it back in or something like that. So, you know, we're
so
all just,
come at your own risk.
Yeah, but I'm sure that there's going to be someone supervising to make sure that we get that all right.
Well, and so there's this whole thing called stay in your lane. So maybe he can just greet customers and tell them what line to pull into.
Literally having people stay in their own lane. So that's Friday between 3 and 6. Come on out. Check out the new store at Jiffy Lube. We're going to be there. It'll be fantastic. Okay, so the Lakers, they made some moves. We know that Magic Johnson is now the president of basketball ops. They traded Lou Williams, which is probably a good start to. They don't really need a full rebuild, but you know, for a
they
while
have
now,
a bunch of very young pieces, and Lou Williams
and those guys need to be on the floor.
Lou Williams lit us up when we were there just the last week, so he is one of those pieces, as well as Swaggy P. And why do I always forget what his actual name is?
Nick Young.
Because he's a tool. But, yeah, those are some older pieces for them that have been really important for them this season, even though they're record-wise not doing very well. They have a ton of very young talent. But to me, in this whole thing, because he was traded to Houston for Corey Brewer and a first-round pick, which I'm like, okay, that's an interesting call. But that's what they need. I mean, they need picks. They need young guys to come. And Houston is in a situation right now where everyone the first couple months really thought, like, holy crap, with Mike D'Antoni and the way that he's got James Harden and Ryan Anderson and that team playing right now, they could maybe truly be a team that could vie for that, you know, trip to the finals and upset Golden State. Uh-huh. But they have seriously slowed down, and a lot of that has to do with the pace that they're playing at, and when you get tired and you rely on 3-point shooting, you're in trouble. But Lou Williams added to that freaking Houston, you know, roster is a little bit scary.
I always wonder about adding, you know, how much effect adding a scorer has to a James Harden team, and you know, like, you know, adding Ryan Anderson was good for them, but I consider him to be more of a shooter than a scorer, if that, you know, if we can kind of parse a little bit there. Whereas Lou Williams does a little bit of both. And anytime you have a guy that needs the ball in his hands. I just wonder how much of an effect they can have.
Well, he's shooting almost 39%.
We know he can fill it up
from beyond the arc. And the thing is, when you have a team like Houston does, James Harden is asked to do a lot. And they moved him over to the point guard this year, which actually was a really brilliant move on D'Antoni's part. And he's flourished
like,
in that
role. Let's be fair. Whether he's asked to do it or not, James Harden's probably
going
to do a lot.
He's
That's
going
just
to
him.
Do a lot. That's just him. Exactly. But if you're a team that has the roster that they have and the ability to really make some noise in the playoffs, whether or not he's coming off the bench, Lou Williams coming off the bench. But if something were to happen to a key piece, holy hell, to have that available to fill in, yes, please.
On paper, it's a great great move, and it upgrades him. But let's go back to the Lakers here because we just have a second, and I want to ask you about this move, the hiring of Rob Pelinka as the GM. He was an agent. He's going to have to divest himself from that.
And representing, we've seen that happen. It's happened here with the Kings before. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
He represents James Harden, or at least did, Eric Gordon, Andre Iguodala, Gordon and Harden both on the same team, the Rockets, that they sent Lou Williams to. But Pelinka also represented Kobe Bryant for over a decade. And Sam Amick, our very own good friend Sam Amick, our NBA
friend
insider,
of the show,
reporting that Kobe was pushing hard for the partnership between Rob Pelinka and the Lakers. So, I mean, you can count on Kobe Bryant having a pretty big say in what's going on with the Lakers moving forward.
He is going to have some kind of role with them regardless of
player coach,
whether or not it's an official role right now. His opinions are going to impact this organization going forward. I mean, Magic Johnson has a love affair with him that you can kind of understand, whatever, both maybe two of the best Lakers all time. But for him to his agent to be the one, like, how many people did they interview for this? Like, this is my thing, and this is what's crazy, because when you're a franchise like the Lakers, and the Kings are very similar, when you get rid of a front office position like a general manager, or you make someone a president of the team, or, you know, basketball ops in this situation, did you have an actual interview process? Did they interview or consider anyone else, or was it just Magic on the phone going, hey, Kobe, like, hey, you think you can get Rob? Like, or, hey, Kobe,
probably
who
that.
Do you think? And then Kobe's like, hey, man, you got to get Rob. Yeah. Like, this is, to me, it's a dangerous situation in that sense. Not that it's not going to work out, but you're gambling with an organization that is so used to being good, that is so used to being contenders. And then for them to be, they've posted the worst record in franchise history in each of the last three seasons. Like, they've done it three straight years where it's just worse and worse and worse. And so if you're at this point where they have a ton of young talent, Nate, and they do, Brandon Ingram, D'Angelo Russell, what's his name, the big Julius Randle. If you have great young talent, this isn't something you want to gamble with right now.
Well, what they're really gambling with is that their market size and their amount of cash is going to outweigh a lack of experience.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing we've learned from our local teams, the Kings and the 49ers, it's that when you need a rebuild, when you're struggling, you need to turn things around, when your franchise is at an all-time low, hire a guy that doesn't have any experience. Generally speaking, I think.
I just love you.
It's not just that, like,
well, and,
we did it as a country, for crying out loud.
It's also a carbon copy in the sense that when your organization is struggling, you kind of go back to someone that has some kind of affiliation for when it was at an all-time high.
Yeah, reputation-based,
yes.
Anyway. All right, the baseball world is making some moves. That's not really the right way to put that. Rule changes in Major League Baseball that are sure to upset the purist in you. We'll have that in 3 minutes on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. Delightfully naive Jason Ross. He had no way of knowing that Dave was going to be sick today.
Yeah.
But he is, and Nate Goodyear, and I'm Nate. Katie Christensen is right there. She's with
Nate Goodyear and Katie Christensen are here today.
They are.
Hey, that's us.
We'll be turning it over to them here shortly. Matt George on the other side of the glass. We'll be speaking with Bobby Marks, front office insider for The Vertical, coming up at 8:05. Lots of moves being made in the NBA.
Lots of rumors right now, too, with a little over 24 hours before the deadline.
Telling you.
It's going to be interesting today.
Jahlil Okafor in the news. Of course, he's expected to be moved by Thursday.
By
the end of the deadline.
Yeah.
The Kings are one of many teams whose name has been brought up, although I really don't think they've got the ammo to acquire that type of player.
What can they give Philly? And this is the thing. Philly and Brian Colangelo and what he's doing right now, he's no pushover. He's not giving them up for nothing.
No.
So there is a high possibility that Okafor could remain on that roster, and Embiid's still injured. He's not playing at the moment. Ugh. So, yeah, but
could be worse. Could be the Sixers.
Lots of names. Even Deron Williams, just saw this during the break, rumored to potentially be headed back to Utah, which would be interesting after how he left.
Right. I know, like, the funny kind of theme running around the internet last night was you got Tyreke Evans back on the Kings, Deron Williams potentially back with the Jazz. Like, it's 2010 again. Let's party. Let's do this. I don't know, like, was there anything good in 2010? I was in college.
You were in college.
I was. Isn't
oh,
that,
my goodness.
Well, I mean, you act like that makes me young. I was in college for 15 years.
Oh, okay.
So
that clears some things up.
If they did doctorates at Sacramento State, I would have an honorary one. So anyway, the Lowdown's got a good slate of guests today, too. Again, we're just a little over 24 hours away from the trade deadline. Michael Lee is going to be joining at 12:35. And then Sam Amick, KHTK NBA insider, who is the one that reported Kobe Bryant is probably behind the Rob Pelinka Lakers partnership. Mm-hmm. So they'll talk to him about that. But first, right now, we told you earlier about the changes in Major League Baseball, whether, you know, they had kind of rumored the extra inning deal. They're going to be experimenting with that, putting a runner on second base in the minor leagues. But yesterday they announced that no longer, Katie, will you need to actually throw four pitches outside the strike zone to intentionally walk a guy. You'll be able to just make a hand gesture from the dugout, like you can in, you know, all most levels of amateur baseball.
And this is interesting to me because, as you said earlier, like, this is pissing off baseball purists for sure.
Any change to the game.
Yeah, the people that like to go to the ballpark and sit there with their scorecard and, like, physically mark down with their little, you know, number two pencil every single ball, strike, whatever. This is pissing these people off.
Uh-huh.
But there's a lot of reasons why this is good, and I'd love for people to weigh in 339-1140 or 44-1140 on the text line and tell us how they feel about this, because I've already gotten tweets from people saying this is ruining the game, so on and so forth. But for me, I look at it as these games are too long as it is. Like, how many people are actually watching an entire baseball game on TV? Like, I don't see that is something that someone wants to sit down for 4 hours and do. And so it's going to speed up the game. On top of that, in the long term, over the course of 160, you know, game season or whatever, this is going to help pitchers because it's going to keep their pitch counts a little bit lower. And that's got to have a long-term effect as the season wears on and you head into the playoffs.
Yeah, I just wonder how far, you know, because if Dave was here, I think he fancies himself a purist.
Oh, yeah, he'd lose his mind.
But I wonder how far baseball would have to go to actually alienate those type of people. And to what degree would this particular rule change really be ruining anything? I mean, and before you come out with the, you know, hey, I get it. When there's an intentional walk in the playoffs, there is enough tension there. And you do see guys throw wild pitches. You saw Miguel Cabrera hit a single on an intentional walk. Gary Sanchez hit a sacrifice fly on what was supposed to be an intentional walk. So
it's happened a handful of times.
You are taking that out of the game, that kind of element of surprise. But that just doesn't make that much difference to me. What, did a fly just land in my coffee?
Fly just landed in your coffee.
That's disgusting. Beautiful. It doesn't bother me. I mean, I get
that fly was a baseball purist and it just dove to its death.
It's not that I don't understand why people would be opposed to a rule change, but it just, I don't get the whole ruining the game part. It's not going to get me to stop watching baseball. And again, it's something that's done at a lot of levels.
Yeah.
And I think there's always something kind of funny about the baseball purist crowd, because they're the ones that don't want any changes, right? Like, they're against the designated hitter. They think it should be abolished and all that type of stuff. And what they're really is, they're not a baseball purist. What they are is they're an American professional Major League Baseball purist, because
right.
The DH exists in almost every other league on the planet, like including the American League, including at college and high school levels. Like, it's just something that's a given as a part of baseball. And I mean, if I don't know, if you're really a purist, isn't it about guys hitting the ball and, yeah, like, you know,
well,
pitching, hitting,
this
running,
rule
fielding?
Goes back quite some time. The four-pitch walk rule dates back to 1889. Before that, it was 8 balls before. It's kind of over the years. 1880, it was 8. 1884, it was 6. 1887, it was 5.
And like, that's when guys would throw 200 pitches in a game,
exactly,
and then come back and throw,
exactly,
the next day.
And so, you know, obviously, I personally think this is a good idea. And for me, it's a little bit better, I think, as a viewer, to, if I'm going to sit down and be watching this.
Uh-huh.
But for a lot of people, it's like, well, fine, if you're just going to do that, then there's a number of things that you can change. Like,
yeah,
how about don't go into extra innings, or, you know, like this,
the
runner
with
on second. Yeah, like, it's just, it upsets a lot of people. But I don't know. Do you think this is something that if you're going to do it, like, okay, well, should you in the playoffs go back to the former, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though. It's just like almost all rule changes, unless they fundamentally change some aspect of the game, like shortening the bases or making it so that you only need one strike for a strikeout,
yeah,
or two balls for a walk or something like that. Short of that, baseball is still going to be baseball. When it gets down to the bottom of the ninth in a playoff game, like, it's not going to make that much of a difference whether you have to physically throw 4 intentional balls or not. That's not, and there's still plenty of other ways that the game can go sideways while the ball's in play. I'm willing to trade that potential element. Like, what is it? 2% maybe of intentional walks turn into anything other,
right,
than an intentional walk.
And
maybe.
And how much does it speed up the game, I guess, is the question. Like, this guy's saying, like, oh, it speeds it up by an average of 35 seconds. I don't know if that's the case. It depends on who you're playing. It's kind of similar to me to the
Hacka
whoever rule. You know what I mean? Like, some games that slows it down significantly, some games it doesn't impact,
yeah,
it. I think it'll happen the same with this rule in baseball.
I mean, they say that this is a time-saving rule, and that could be part of it. And
is it not even just that? It's just boring to watch.
Right,
it.
That's exactly it. Like, you do incremental things to speed up the time. It's no one thing that's going to change that, but it's stupid that if you're going to intentionally walk someone that you have to do anything other than, say, put that dude on first base.
Yeah. I just want the signal to be something fun.
So it's
got to
be, yeah.
Yeah.
1 hour in the books. The DeMarcus Cousins trade, we haven't gotten to that too much. Buddy Hield arrived in Sacramento yesterday along with the other guys. And the Kings' name is still in the trade rumor mill, whatever it is. We'll have that as we open the second hour of the show. Nate Goodyear, Katie Christensen with you on the drive. This is Sports 1140 KHTK.